a kid in a goddamn candy store, Nick. Club football is back. Boy, did I watch a lot. I know you watched some, but man, I think I was up every morning at 6:37 this weekend. I watched a second tier versus a third tier. I got my Nuremberg boys yesterday playing the Cup Destroyers last season. Saarbrücken beat Bayern, Gladbach, and Frankfurt on their way to a semifinal. Then I watched Bochum yesterday get handled by Regensburg. Watched Inter Milan shit the bed big time. There were some other big clubs that lost or drew as well in Italy. That's the only thing that it ruined my Saturday, Nick. I tell you, three out of four clubs did me a solid this weekend, and Inter were the one blemish on my record. Real Madrid dropped points, which makes me very happy. Love seeing that. Won't last, but you know what? It's a little bit of cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. Give me a little bit to snack on, please. Real Madrid getting the points drop. They'll still win the league by 78 points. It's all good, but you know, a bad start is always something I love to see from Mr. Kylian Mbappe. So where do we go from here? We started with the Premier League on Friday. Man United looking like prime 98 Man United, man. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It looked like David Beckham and Roy Keane and Gary Neville were all out there. Unbelievable. I swear to God, Ten Hag morphed into Alex Ferguson. Tactical genius. Unbelievable play. Rashford looked like prime Zlatan. I mean, Man U, are they going to go 38-0-0, Nick? Is this the undefeated streak right here? We're going to see. How many points is that? 38 times 3, 120-something points. I mean, 142, whatever. I don't even know. I can't do the math right now. But City better be crumbling and trembling and shaking in their boots, because United are about to go on this undefeated run. And it's only the thing is, everybody should be happy they're not in Champions League, because if they were, buddy, Madrid, your reign would be quickly over, because United – glory, 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 Man United, when the Reds come marching in. Unbelievable performance. 1-0, they get the win over unbelievable powerhouse, the Ohio State of the Premier League, Fulham. Yep, sure did. Looked great. United looked like a fucking megastar, like a comet in the night, truly. And we'll talk about how awesome they are. Then we went to Liverpool Saturday morning, and you know, there were some things to like. There were some things not to like. The things I still don't like is there's no transfers. They're looking at a goalkeeper from Valencia now. They need a goalkeeper? When I wasn't aware. The whole summer they're talking about number 6 and a center back, maybe a winger. Now my boy, our boy from Ireland that does the watch along, he's talking about Liverpool is all in on Anthony Gordon. All in. On Anthony Gordon, and where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't need a winger. I mean, I'm not going to be mad at getting Anthony Gordon into Merseyside. Like, don't get me wrong. I love him. I begged and begged for him to get more playing time in the European Championship this past summer. And I think that Gareth Southgate is a moron for not playing him and Cole Palmer more. But Liverpool do not need a winger. No. That's the one part of the pitch they actually have depth at.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
then what do we see, Nick? We went to, let's see, from there, I think it was Newcastle. We watched some Newcastle, watched some Nottingham Forest. Robin Hood, the Sheriff of Nottingham, got the job done, except they didn't. They drew in the end. I thought Chris Wood, 25th minute, got him ahead, ended up not getting the 3 points. And Nottingham Forest, They need all the points they can get. They really do. They need all the points they can get. Then we watched City and Chelsea yesterday, and that was a debacle. I watched everything, even the post-match interviews, and the NBC just ass-kissing of Man City. 115 motherfucking charges, and they're talking about Leicester City deserve to burn in hell for their sins. Leicester City, what exactly did they do to ruin my lunch?
Yeah,
they didn't do anything. Nothing. Maybe an infraction here or there. Man City literally, oh, but we wouldn't want to disturb the fact that our guests, our post-match guests, are the bald fraud himself, Pep Gorgonzola. Pep Gorgonzola and his Mountie Merry Men of fucking cheating. And yeah, Kovacic, handball. We don't gonna fucking look at that. Why would we look at that? And then I score the go-ahead goal. But I do not celebrate against my former club because I used to play here. So I don't want Stamford Bridge to murder me. Yeah, good call, Kovacic. You didn't celebrate. Man, it's been a weekend. Yeah. The one match that we have not talked about, will not talk about because we're just not going to get it done in time. They play later this afternoon is the cheaters themselves, the unholy cheaters, Leicester City, who deserve, according to Rebecca Lowe, they deserve to go down. But all hail mighty Man City, 115 charges of cheating, and we will not talk about it. We will not call them out. They are the saints of the Premier League, and they are going to win their fifth consecutive Premier League title. And if it weren't for that stupid little troll, Jurgen Klopp, they would have had 9 in a row.
Yeah.
Stop me when I'm telling lies, Nick.
Nah, I mean.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm done with the monologue. What are we talking about first?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of football. We had a ton, man. I mean, it was back to back to back to back. I mean, hell, even nighttime, daytime, middle of the nighttime. Just football everywhere, man, and it was very exciting. We transitioned. We made fun of United, as you can clearly tell from your beginning there, and then we went into Liverpool at the coffee fixture, and then Inter Milan, man. We did watch some of that, and yeah, that was a debacle there. That late penalty just absolutely broke hearts, tore up hearts all across Italy and even in America, man. Yeah, because we were
there's so much to cover, Nick. We're just not going to get into we watched, you and I combined watched 3 or 4 leagues, multiple Pokals, cups, whatever. Yeah. I watched 2 matches by myself from the DFB Pokal, which was Nuremberg, and I watched all of Nuremberg. My boys, the club, they took care of business in the penalty shootout against Saarbrücken, like I said before, and then I watched some of Jan Regensburg and Bochum. Bochum are in trouble. I'm just going to say that right now. Bochum are in trouble. They did not look good yesterday. So we're just going to talk about the highlights. What stood out? What didn't? I want to talk about Marseille. I do not want to not talk. I put a TikTok out about Mason Greenwood. I punched someone in the face because that's what he does best, but also he's a pretty good footballer. So I want to talk about Mason Greenwood. And yeah, on TikTok, I said, has it ever occurred to anyone that Marseille's front line are basically a bunch of criminals? But damn, they're good, right? Yeah. Let's talk about Marseille. Marseille going to challenge the mighty cheaters from the Middle East for the Ligue 1 crown. Perhaps, maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Manager's already talking about what a fantastic footballer this man named Mason Greenwood is. So it was like Christmas, Nick. There's just, like I said, we're not going to sit here and talk result by result. We're going to talk about what stood out. So let's start right off the bat with the kickoff game, the one that got us into the weekend, the one that is literally Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs of the Premier League, the gods themselves, Manchester United, got us started on Friday afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. It was a little bit later, 8 p.m. English time, I believe it was. And do you want to crown him, Nick? Let's go ahead and crown him, right?
I mean, from the sound of it, yeah, man. I mean, they're going to be the new invincible. They're just not going to draw 12 times, you know?
Right.
Maybe 2 or 3 draws will all they'll get. But all jokes aside, man, I have to say that the lineup was shit. It was bad. I mean, on TikTok, I was saying just to pull Onana into the midfield and just put Casemiro back in goal. It was bad, man. I mean, Bruno isn't even a striker, and he was playing in the striker position. I mean, De Ligt on the bench, Garnacho on the bench, one of the best young and upcoming wingers on the face of the earth. And, I mean, it's funny, man. As soon as you switch that lineup up, you get some people on the pitch. You're signing in Xerxes. You get your original winger on in Garnacho.
Goldrow's already hurt. You already talked about that. Their big signing, already hurt, already injured.
Yeah, already out.
Goldrow's hurt.
Yeah,
you got, at least Casemiro was back in the number six and not in the, as a center back like he was last season. That was a complete and utter joke. They put Bruno, and I said this, I corrected a United supporter last week, no, it was actually not a United supporter. It was Steven. I was talking to Steven, talking about Bruno being up front. And I said, yeah, that shows you how their lack of depth really is up there, because they had Casemiro playing out of position last year. At least they have that filled now back in his normal spot. Now they're putting Bruno up front as a striker, second striker, whatever the hell they were doing. Yeah. They were playing some kind of weird formation. Look, he's not a center forward. He's not a striker. Yeah. They're doing it because they don't have anyone else.
Yeah.
He is a goal poacher. Steven's like, he's a goal poacher. No, he's not a goal poacher. He's a natural midfielder. He can play central attacking mid as well, but he is not a – he's scoring goals because they have no one else, and because Rashford literally is the epitome of a fall from grace. The guy is done. Yeah. He's cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been missing for a couple seasons now. And
been missing for his whole life. Almost.
Yeah, they ended up getting lucky, as they do sometimes, and Xerxes scored that goal late, and they're celebrating like the title was won. It was funny. They were on top of the league for 13 hours, I think it was. About 13, 14 hours, and then they were wiped out of the first place position by Liverpool just that fast. And to be quite frank, they won't see first place probably again the rest of the season. But it was quite the celebration in Manchester. Everyone was happy. I did see a few people who were upset with the lineup, but you got to kind of look past that and look at the 3 points that was taken from Fulham. So yeah, quite the match, man. I don't see how they're gonna beat anyone who has any better of a side than Fulham, but we'll see, man. Maybe the bald fraud has some something up his sleeve, man.
Nick, who celebrates being on top of the table after match day one, beating an inferior opponent at home?
United.
What kind of club is that? I mean, if it's Saarbrücken or Darmstadt, yeah, I get it. You're trolling. It's funny.
Yeah.
But I think they legitimately were like, we're the fucking shit.
Yeah.
We won 1-0 over powerhouse Fulham.
They've forgotten. They I just honestly think they've forgotten how good they were in the past, and now it's become just a ridiculous shit show with their fans. They've forgotten United, how good they used to be, man. I mean, yeah. They're not used to it.
United are like a walking meme now. That's what they've become. They're like a parody.
Yeah.
A shadow of their former selves. And, you know, it's funny because all the troll talk and all the trolls, Gary Neville was actually a guest with NBC before the kickoff. And he finally, in front of a camera, not on his Twitter account where he's a keyboard hero, where he can hide behind there. Now he's in front of a national audience where he actually has to be serious for 1 second of his pathetic existence as a sports broadcaster. He actually admitted, oh, United are nowhere near the title. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, he speaks the truth. No, United are nowhere near the title. Gary Neville, for once, we all agree.
Yeah. No, for sure, man.
Keane's still adamant that Liverpool will fit. And this, you know what's funny is United need to stop worrying about Liverpool and start worrying about themselves. Why are you so concerned with Liverpool Football Club? And he's like, we're going to relish finishing above Liverpool in the table. Well, even if you do that, you're not going to win the title. United used to be like, if we don't win the Premier League, then that's a disappointing season. Now it's like, well, we can finish ninth as long as Liverpool finish 10th. What a pathetic existence.
No, absolutely, man. Yeah, it's a big fall from grace. I mean, when I started following, I got to see Jose's first season, so I never knew the United of trophies and titles and whatnot. So coming into this, I never looked at United as this championship side. So I never really was affected by all the losing and whatnot. It didn't affect me at all. I had no clue they were as good as they used to be. And these fans are just as ridiculous as can be, man. I mean, the thumbnails and the Twitter tweets and whatnot about being on top of the table when you were literally the only team to play is an absolute joke, and you should be laughed at. Absolutely.
I mean, if I had any kind of confidence that they were actually joking, I would say, look, you know, it's funny. I get it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you're poking fun at, but like, I feel like they were being serious. Like we're top of the table. Well, dude, no one else has played yet.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah. It's hilarious.
So if when next week, or actually this week, sorry, in 4 days, when Leverkusen kicks off the Bundesliga season against Gladbach, and let's say Gladbach were to upset them, let's just say, okay, just for argument's sake, and Gladbach tweets out, we're on top of the table. Well, I got news for you, Borussia Mönchengladbach. In about one more week, you won't be there.
Yeah. Yeah, hate to break it to you, but your title defense will come to an end.
moving on. Liverpool and... Oh, God. Liverpool and Ipswich, sorry.
Yeah.
So, takeaways from that. I really... You know, I can see in some ways how slots change the team. It's a lot more, and Jurgen was working towards this, but it's a lot more possession based now. It's not heavy metal football. It's definitely not this. But I enjoyed watching the pressing. I mean, they were pressing hard and high, and it really looked like a new tactical philosophy. It is going to be that. But of course, you're not looking for a drastic change in week one. But it did honestly look, you know, there's the players that were the player movement, their player openness, the chances that were created a little bit different. I was very excited about what I saw. I thought it could have been way worse than 2-0. Liverpool really 3-0 for sure, because they had one that was. Basically, the 3-0 that was a guarantee in late in the second half, and was not quite going in the goal. But there were other opportunities in the second half, less chances in the first, as I think both sides were feeling each other out. But what were your overall takes from it? I mean, I'm still in wait and see mode with them, and we, you know, look. First game of the season, and I'm going to take it as such. I'm not like United, who's just basically crowning myself king of the world.
Yeah.
Liverpool had the easiest on paper opponent in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Granted, they were on the road. It was a landmine game. You step on that landmine, it explodes. And man, if you drop points here, you're already off to a horrendous start, because right now you're level on points and goal differential with City. But if you have any aspiration, which apparently a lot of people do, of winning the league, you have to win this match. And by the way, what I really loved, and I'm going to let you talk about this, was Arne Slot subbing out Kwanzaa at the half, not because of an injury, but because I don't like what I'm seeing. Klopp did not do that, would not do that. One weakness about Klopp was he loved his favorites. He had his players that he would ride until they died. James Milner, Hendo, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And Slot comes in and says, hey, you've only won 50% of your duels, asshole. You're not going back out there again. Puts Konate in. I'm not the biggest Konate fan. You know that. But guess what Konate did? He won 75% of his duels. He outplayed Kwanzaa. I love that Slot did that. Four substitutions before the 80th minute, Nick.
Yeah, that's playing favorites. You'll end up like United do when with Ten Hag. I mean, it's something that managers do, and it really affects the team. And you saw that he is not playing games. I mean, something that me and you didn't even bring up, and it's something that I thought about, was guess who didn't even touch the pitch, man? Darwin Nunez did not.
Yeah, no, he didn't make it on. Nope. Pitch. Nope.
I mean, this is your 80 million guy that everyone was screaming, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And he just, you know, Slot put his finger to his mouth and told you to shh. be quiet, I got this. He started Jota. I mean, there was some positives to take out of this, man. Nunez didn't even touch the pitch. Konate coming on because Kwanzaa couldn't keep up with Ipswich was clutch. I mean, that's what you want your manager to do. I can't stand watching a match and seeing someone playing like trash and the manager will not take them off. I mean, I've seen it even with Pep, Bernardo Silva, KDB, they'll have these bad games, these bad matches, and they won't get taken off, and it hurts. So when you see a manager do it, it's just you got to applaud them because playing favorites gets you nowhere. I mean, that is the difference in a top quality manager and a manager who's there for the vibes. I enjoyed it. Right. Yeah, Konate, I mean, you're talking about a French international who has the talent. It's just the quality isn't there sometimes. And so far, so good, man. I mean, you got to kind of forget that. This is a new start, and let's see what he can do. Because if Kwanzaa can't do it, you got to get somebody in there because just like we talked about, they didn't spend no money. You have what you have. Make it work.
You know, then we move on to Newcastle. I really like Newcastle. You and I watched that match together, actually.
Yeah.
We came over, and they were down a man, got a red card. They were down to 10 men, still took the lead. Gordon looked great, had that breakaway. He was offside, but I think it was either a foul or an offside happened, but he was about to put some a beat down on that keeper. And I love watching him play. I mean, he's so dangerous. And don't get me wrong, man, I'd love to see him in a red kit. Like, I'm not going to be mad about that, but I just believe there's bigger needs. It's kind of like you go and draft a running back when you have Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith on your team. Like, you don't, it's a great luxury to have, but you don't need that. You need a center and a guard and a tackle that can block for them.
Yeah.
That's my analogy back to egg ball. So what I'm saying is that there's just bigger needs. But Newcastle, very impressive. Eddie Howe, we talked about him. He's on the hot seat. He cannot fail to provide results this season so far. Off to a good start. And they got the 3 points. What were your thoughts about Newcastle United?
Yeah, from what I saw, it was a good match. I mean, the early red card always hurts. When I got there, they ended up going up with the red, and then they held on, man. I mean, credit to Southampton. They had a few chances, a few shots, but, you know, you are up a man. You know, you are just a new guy on the block. I know they're up and down a lot, but, I mean, they did as well as they could. I mean, Newcastle actually looked like they could have scored, like you said, on that Gordon breakaway. Gordon is just so talented, man. I mean, he wasn't used in the Euros is crazy. I mean, Southgate's gone now, so we will probably see him start. So it was a funny match because Newcastle was kind of on the back burner. They did have a few breakaways, but Southampton, man, was going at it. They just couldn't break through. I mean, we saw a 14-year-old, it looks like, come on for Southampton at the end of the match there. So if that tells you anything about Southampton, then I don't know what will. So it'll probably be a long season for them. They'll be fighting to stay up, most likely.
Yeah, I want to talk about my team of the week, though, and that is Brighton and Hove Albion. They just went to Goodison Park and just smacked Everton right upside the head. 3-0. Everton got a red card. Ashley Young in the 66th to make things worse. The 15th consecutive season with at least one goal scored for the ageless wonder that is Danny Welbeck. He scores in the 56th minute to make it 2-0. And then Simon Adingra, he scores in the 87th to make it 3-0. Brighton, I am impressed, man. Like, so far, 37 match days to go. A long way to the finish line. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll, as AC/DC said. But off to a good start. They get Man United next week, buddy. Man United and Brighton.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Yeah, should be a great one, man.
At Brighton, buddy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, you got to.
That's the coffee fixture next Saturday morning is Brighton and Man United.
Yeah, because thank God it's not somebody I actually want to see, even though I would like to watch Brighton. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see who would be the favorite there because Brighton's playing better football, but Man United have that that history that always gives them the nudge in the books. So yeah, man, that I think Brighton could actually win that one, man. Brighton did surprise me. I will say that in our season preview for Premier League, I don't think Everton's going to do too well, man. I think they're in trouble. I think when you have those problems in the front office that it kind of trickles down, that it's just mentally, it's a hard thing to deal with. You know, the point deductions, it's just difficult to have on your plate. And it showed, man. I mean, they sold their best player, their engine, their workhorse in Onana, the Belgian international. And it showed, man.
He scored over the weekend. He scored immediately.
Yeah, scored his first goal. I think it was a header, set piece goal. I mean, he's tall, lanky. He's a workhorse, and he got it in. And losing him was massive for Everton. And boy, we talk good about Brighton, but Everton could be in some serious trouble, man.
Yeah, I picked him to do better than last season, so I may be eating my words there. They weren't that bad last year. The table shows a way worse result because of all the points deductions. That's not performance based. That's business based.
Yeah.
Brighton though, based on that result, they're slight favorites over United at home. Should we take a picture of the table with United in seventh currently, and should we tweet that?
God, yeah, they'd love that.
Well, I mean, what's good for one position is good for another, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Commentary. And the other team I want to talk about real quick was Aston Villa. They took care of business. Dracula. Yeah, I mean, what did you think there? They had to come from a 1-1 position to get the win at the end. Paqueta scored a penalty to equalize, and then they came right back and took care of business. As you said, there were a lot of bright spots, but Onana scoring in the fourth minute right out the gate to put Villa up 1-0. They just looked like they came to win. I mean, it was at the London Stadium. They won on the road. Dracula's got some stuff going on, man. I picked Aston Villa in my top four, so I don't have them, even with Champions League, I don't have them dropping off too terribly much. So what were your thoughts on Villa?
Yeah, no, I kind of thought that they should beat a team like West Ham. They weren't the favorite, obviously, away from home. But, I mean, Duran is somebody who I was watching at Atletico, in the Colombian League. He just was tearing it up there, and he went to Chicago Fire for a season. Shockingly, the MLS and Aston Villa said, okay, we like you, come on over, join the squad. And man, he has shown out for the few matches that he got to play. He came on in the 62nd, scored a goal in the 79th for the win. Jacob Ramsey with the assist, and Dracula doing Dracula things, man. I expect them to definitely be up in the top half. You got to give credit to him, man. Dracula has a lot on his plate this year in Champions League for the first time since what, the 70s or 90s?
80s.
Or
something? It was, yeah, 80s, 80s really. Yeah.
So right in the middle. So he has a lot on his plate, man. So you gotta clap and give him his applause here, because he did a great job. The subs were great, and they're off to a great start, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things about what he's done there. Steven Gerrard nearly got that club relegated.
Yeah.
And Dracula has come in. He was in his coffin. He gets up at 2 in the morning when it's dark outside. He does it. He puts in the work. And, you know, when it's daytime, I still don't understand how he manages while it's daytime. But anyways, that's maybe he has some kind of potion or something he takes. But, he has absolutely transformed this team. And I expect a steady, continued rise. You know, Aston Villa could be that next great Premier League story.
No, absolutely. Yeah, they could definitely be a mainstay. You make it two seasons in a row being in the mix, then you can kind of start saying this could be a regular thing. So props to Villa. The fans are all happy, and hell, we love it too, man.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's like people talk about the big six or the top six, and it's, you know, it's great that there's, but don't you think other teams have aspirations? Like Spurs are not guaranteed to be there the whole time. Arsenal almost fell out of it 3 or 4 years ago. Liverpool were out of it before Klopp got there. Not based on riches or anything like that, but I mean, when Klopp took over, they were in eighth place. United's been, I mean, come on, dude. They, in size, top six, yes, for sure. But in results, they haven't been top six for a long time. I mean, the occasional Jose Mourinho second place, sure. But last year was more the norm than sixth place, fifth place, eighth place. That's really been more their MO the past decade than second or first.
Oh, absolutely.
But let's move on. We got so much to cover real quick. So we had, that's Premier League. I mean, and Chelsea. I wanted Chelsea and Man City. So I watched that yesterday, and you know, Chelsea does have a long way to go. They had some chances, but they really were never. I don't really think they ever threatened. I watched that game. I gotta say this, like City honestly looked, and I gotta take all the cheating bias out of it, man. I gotta look at it as they are a sports team from when I'm talking about them, because I truly do hate them with all my heart. But the players, it's not their fault. You know, they're there. They got bought. They got transferred in. They're just doing their job, right?
Yeah.
They looked like they were in January midseason form. I mean, really did. That's where when Pep said that after the interview, I thought the same thing. Or during the interview, I was like, yeah, I mean, City look, they always get off to a bad start.
Yeah, they usually do.
And they were at the Bridge. They won 2-0. I mean, that's a game where you say late in the season or whenever they play them, that could be points drop for City.
Yeah.
At Stamford Bridge. And they already did. They just got 3 points. I mean, so, and they drew every single time they played Chelsea last season. I believe they drew. I know they drew twice in the league. They may have played in a cup that City won later on down the road. I think they did, but in the league they drew twice.
Yeah.
I can't say a whole hell of a lot of great things about Chelsea. They 6 weeks they've been together, as the new manager said, they've been together 6 weeks now. It's going to be, but that's what happens when you have constant turnover.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you consistently sack your manager. So Poch is out, this guy's in. He's from the Guardiola coaching tree. So of course Guardiola is going to know how to beat his pupil, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they had that thriller last year. What was it, 3-3 or 4-4?
That was the match around Christmas time.
Yeah, it was a crazy match. So we were expecting fireworks, man. And I mean, I was at Huntington Island, but I was texting and keeping up with it on the phone. And I saw that City was just doing what they did. I was listening to my Chelsea guy. He was very upset with Enzo Fernandez, said he had one of the worst matches he's seen. He'll probably, I mean, if he has another bad game or match or two, they'll sit him down and just plop somebody else in. It's going to be a difficult season for Chelsea, I feel. I think they can be at the top, but new manager is difficult. It takes a really special manager to just plug them in, and then you just take over the Premier League, you know? So it's going to be a big year, big season for City. I do think that the players are going to play their asses off, but like you said, man, you got that gray cloud, you know, but I agree with you, man. It's not the players' fault. They still have to play, but in the long run, it's just something we always are going to think about, man. I mean, we could talk about City all we want. And me and you are always going to bring up, well, they'll be relegated next year anyway, so who cares?
Hashtag the 115.
Yeah, so it's just one of those things, man. You know, you do talk about the game and the sport that's being played, but we'll never forget the charges that are looming.
Cucurella, I mean.
Yeah, he got.
Obviously, you know, and somebody picked Spain to lose to England because he's on the fucking planet.
Yeah.
And he plays for Spain. And look, he's dog shit, okay? I know I trolled the picture with him celebrating with the European Cup, but Spain didn't win because of Cucurella, okay? they won in spite of Cucurella. They just have to fill a void. He's a defender. They put him in that spot.
Yeah.
But Chelsea are back to club football, man. Back to club football. We're not talking about Spain. This is Chelsea. And he yesterday, when he got off his ass in the second half, when I saw his teammates pick him up, that kind of summed up his day. Picking him up off his ass. He just got schooled. His stupid wavy afro waving in the air. Just, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not a good player. He's just not. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah. Well, he's one of those guys like Darwin. He'll do well. And then next thing you know, he's on for club. And then it's like, where in the hell did that player go? So that's another. He made up a chant about Haaland, and Haaland literally trolled him on his social media, because I'm pretty sure Haaland schooled him and scored that goal. And it was kind of funny, man. You can't help but laugh, because Haaland got the last word, and Cucurella looked quite silly. I mean, everyone was on Cucurella's ass, and deservedly so, man. The guy did not play very well at all. It was pretty bad. And
yeah.
And he paid for it on the media and in the social media world, man. They were trolling his ass hard.
Big time, man. Big time. Hey, yeah. Moving leagues real quick. We started off with Serie A. You and I got up Saturday morning. We're looking at the fixture list, and you have right there, you have the defending champs Inter Milan versus Genoa. And we watched some of that match together. We switched it to Inter after we were watching some boring contest. We switched to Inter. And, you know, Inter.
BBB.
Oh, BBB were destroying.
Phoenix.
BBB were destroying Lübeck.
Yeah.
Getting revenge for 1938.
Yes. Yeah.
Just revenge ridiculous. Match. Phoenix, yeah. Phoenix Lübeck.
Yeah.
So we switched over to a more competitive fixture, and Inter, nope, they were just for the longest time messing around. They fall 1-0 to Genoa, and then they get the equalizer. Our boy Turam, just fantastic. Yeah, then they go ahead 2-1. Had some VAR go their way for once.
Yeah.
And then Bissak just makes a fucking stupid, stupid decision. Just anything you can do, don't touch the ball anywhere near the box.
Yeah.
And yep. Hits him right in the arm.
Yeah.
Penalty. And what's worse is Sommer actually saved the penalty shot.
Oh, yeah.
He saved it.
Yeah.
And then they got it on the rebound. And so Inter drop points, much like Madrid, two defending champs that drop points on the opening day. City did not. We'll see if Leverkusen can also not on Friday. PSG didn't. But damn, I mean, so many missed opportunities for Inter.
Yeah.
Now, Genoa played a good match. I'm not going to take that away from them, but Inter, couple of offsides, couple of just not clinical, man. Just not sharp, and it looked like they have some fine-tuning to do. DeMarco had a fantastic game in some instances, and in others not so much. He had a free kick perfect for a lefty right outside the box. I mean, you just curl that bad boy in. You could see what he was trying to do with it. Couldn't get it over the wall, Nick.
Oh, damn.
Couldn't get it over the wall. So DeMarco, I mean, I'm sitting there waiting. Okay, here comes the 2-1 right here. Now, Turam scored it later anyway, but then that makes it 2-1. Turam scores his, then it's 3-1. You don't have to worry about the handball.
Yeah.
But what were your thoughts on that? I just left. That really, I made a video about it. It pissed me off. I feel like Inter literally left stuff on the table.
Yeah, they kind of left a lot. A lot was left to be desired, my friend.
Yeah.
That's the feeling that was shared amongst almost the whole football world. I mean, everyone wanted to see Inter Milan do well, almost everyone except rivals. And it was hard to swallow, because they really should have won that match. And, you know, should is a place where pigs fly, man. It just didn't happen. And I felt like they were coming at him pretty hard. Tarami came in. I don't know how he looked, because I ended up having to leave, but I'm hoping he looked good. And I'm really hoping for a great season from him. It's just that late mistake. It's funny, both the goals that Genoa got, think about the first one. Remember the Bissek or whoever it was stopped playing because he
Bissek ball watched because they thought that
Sommer was going to catch
the ball. Jan Sommer had the Sommer. They thought Jan Sommer had the ball in his hands. It got pinned between up on the crossbar, the post, the crossbar, and he couldn't quite catch it. They thought he was going to catch it.
Yeah.
And when it didn't, it ricocheted right to a Genoa player. And so the Inter back line just stopped. They stopped coming crashing towards the goal. They just and they lost their man. Their man marking was obsolete at that point because they stopped dead in their tracks.
Yeah, they just quit. And that led in the first goal, and then the mistake at the end will give up the second, and then there it is. You drop points in your first match.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're on the back heel of things, and now you have to not be, invincible. There's a long way to go, but you have that on your mind, man, and you do not want that. So,
we're going to get to it right now why it's not as big a deal as I made it out to be Saturday is because the same thing happened to their crosstown rivals. Crosstown rivals, really. They play in the same stadium, the San Siro, so really they're brothers from another mother. It was AC Milan down 2-0 to Torino. And, of course, Torino can't hold it. I mean, that's just, again, all you have one job is just park the damn bus, man. Like, how do you let them come back on you? It's 2-0 with 15 minutes to go.
And
I told my friend Richard, I said, they it's like AC Milan's like playing cards with Doc Holliday in the movie Tombstone. I mean, he's just going to pull an ace out of his sleeve. I mean, long live Val Kilmer, by the way. Shout out to Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Greatest Doc Holliday there ever was and quite the handsome man in 1993. Not so much.
Yeah.
But look, it's just to me, if you're a minnow, and Torino's not even a minnow. They're a decent sized club.
Absolutely.
How do you let that happen? 2-0 with 15 to go, bro. Close it out. But Milan do not get the win. They get the 1 point just like Inter. So they're all level on points, 2-2 and the other match 2-2. And then the other reason I'm not so worried is because the defending champs from last season, Napoli, got absolutely sandblasted. Sandblasted.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just
3-0.
Yeah, just tweeting at somebody who said something about Napoli. I said, man, what in the world happened?
Hellas Verona just worked.
Yeah. Holy shit, 3-0. And that's not like some we made a mistake. That's totally getting bashed. So that was something that you got to bat your eyes at, man, and say, what in the actual fuck? Conte is going to have some work to do. Victor Osimhen didn't even play. I mean,
why would he? He's been sort of like, I play when I want to play for them for a year now.
Yeah, I'm seeing that it looks like they're going to sign Lukaku. So they're in the middle of a lot of business stuff. It looks like they have players that are not quite playing because they don't think they'll be there. So they do this to themselves, though. They have no one to blame but themselves. I mean, these guys need to play regardless if they think they're going. And it showed that was bad, man. I mean, 3-0, come on, dude. Holy shit. It was shocking, though. I mean, Hellas Verona.
Antonio Conte. His debut with Napoli, and I said it, I'm the one that said it, that Napoli were gonna come back up the table this year. And you had them improving, but I had them improving even more because of the Conte effect. Yeah. And, he better right this ship quickly because that was humiliating. Now, another reason that Inter shouldn't worry too much is the fact that Roma drew with Cagliari yesterday. I also watched that one. I was just all weekend, Nick, football. I was doing errands around the house and chores, and I would have to run to go get something, but I'd come right back and I would still be watching football. I must have watched 7-8 games this weekend. I mean, literally between all the leagues and the cups and stuff like that, just amazing. I was like, it was literally like Christmas. It was like Boxing Day, man. It was just one match, the next match. And if this one's at halftime, let me switch to this one. So this was actually the last match that I watched yesterday, which was Roma and Cagliari, and they drew 0-0. Reason I brought them up is because you're talking about players that are not playing either because they're on the way out. Well, this happened to be Paulo Dybala. They were saying rest in peace to his Roma career. He was getting subbed in because it would have been the last time that he would ever play in a Roma shirt, because it's rumored that he is going to be making his way to the Middle East. So there's another big name European player to the Middle East to go join Ronaldo and his merry men of Warriors. So 0-0 Roma and Cagliari, and another one that also is a, I mean, I wouldn't say they're a competitor for the Serie A title, for the Scudetto, but Roma's a big club. They're a big name. Yeah. And they drew.
Roma, definitely. Roma's somebody you don't, that could possibly contend every season. I mean, they have the money and the players. And it's funny, Dybala going to Saudi and Ronaldo still yet to win a trophy with his Saudi side. They went up in the Super Cup with the lead against Al Hilal and then blew it yet again, let in 4 goals in the second half. So Ronaldo's still trophyless in Saudi, I want to say.
Yeah.
So Paulo's going to go join that ship. And goodbye, Paulo Dybala. I wanted to see him in the Premier League. What was it, 3 or 4 seasons ago? He almost went to United. But it just never happened, and now he's going to go waste away with the desert people, man. Just gone and forgotten.
One of the reasons, so there was only 2 actual results over the weekend. It was Venezia losing and Napoli losing. Everyone else drew. So with that said, Verona's in first place and Lazio's in second because they beat newcomers Venezia.
Yeah.
And then everyone else, man, has a point. Milan, Genoa, Inter, Torino, Bologna, Fiorentina, Parma, Udinese, Cagliari, Empoli, Monza, Roma. Yeah,
you missed it today. So they could jump in that.
Yeah.
With the 3. So
Atalanta plays today, Juventus plays today.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Juventus at 3 and the Atalanta kick off in 28 minutes. So yeah, man, that could change, but it's so freaking early. I mean, Inter could lose the next match and still win the title by 10 points.
Oh yeah, so, yeah. No, it's still very early, but just you know, I wanted to just I'm being greedy.
Yes. So. Yes.
Moving on to, let's look real quick at the DFB Pokal, where I mean, we watched Dortmund just pillage. They beat some farmers pretty badly. What did you think about? I mean, are you kind of surprised that Dortmund conceded one?
I did see that. It was later in the match. I don't know, man. They were playing at Hamburg Stadium. It's a big match for Phoenix.
They were, they were playing at the Volksparkstadion in Hamburg, man, so we do need to mention that.
That match, I think we talked about it, that match is their match of the year, dude. I mean, of course they want to do well in their league, but bro, playing Borussia Dortmund's huge. I sometimes you got to feel these teams just want to get a goal, and they played their asses off regardless if they were down 2-3-0. They got their goal, man, and they accomplished that. I don't bat an eye at it. I think by the time they scored, BVB probably had most of their players out, man. You know, I don't think much of it. I'm glad they did get a goal. Screw it, you know, make it exciting. So props to him, man. Borussia Dortmund off to a good start. I think it's funny that we get a week of DFB Pokal and then they kick the actual season off a week later than everyone else, man. I completely forgot that Germany did this.
Some results not surprising. Some were. Just advance. You know, Mainz, Bayern, St. Pauli, Hoffenheim advance, Fürth advance, Gladbach advance, Heidenheim, Schalke, Freiburg, Kaiserslautern, Leipzig, RB Leipzig, that is, Union Berlin, Borussia Dortmund, Holstein Kiel. So one upset. Arminia Bielefeld beat Hannover 96, so they're out. Augsburg beat Victoria Berlin. Köln beat Sandhausen. Nuremberg beat Saarbrücken. That probably even as a Nuremberg supporter, I say that at Saarbrücken was where the match was being played. Probably Nuremberg slight dogs in that one.
Yeah,
they do get the win on the road, especially Saarbrücken's track record last season in the Pokal, so nearly made it to the final. Jan Regensburg, they do upset Bochum 1-0, so Bochum already out. Then you have Elversberg 7-0 over Hildesheim. Then you have Hamburg 7-1 over Meppen. 7-1 Hamburg.
Yeah.
Karlsruhe 5-0 over Lotte. Paderborn beat Bremer SV. Wow, that's a I must be a minnow club in Bremen somewhere. Bremen has fouled 4-0. Darmstadt 3-1. Elversberg, as I said. Here's an upset. Dynamo Dresden 2-0 over Düsseldorf. So Düsseldorf was a semifinalist last season. They are so two semifinalists, Nick, from last season are gone. Düsseldorf and Saarbrücken are both gone.
Yeah, let the other guys get their chance, man. I mean, this is where a team like Nuremberg or someone, you know, Regensburg, somebody could slip in and make it to the last eight or four, and then you're kind of rooting for them there. You know, this is the excitement that we want. We want to see some new faces. I mean, last year in the DFB Pokal was absolutely mind-blowing. We had three teams outside of the top tier that made it to the final four. I mean, K-Town, Starbrooken, Düsseldorf. I mean, bro, we might not ever see that again, dude.
Yeah. As we speak, so Leverkusen and Stuttgart play later. They play tomorrow and Wednesday, respectively, because they had a match over the weekend, the DFB Super Cup, which Leverkusen won their third trophy now in the past 4 months. Fourth trophy in the last 4 months.
Yeah.
Or 3 months, actually. Fourth trophy in the last 3 months. Another one for Xabi. They have to go to penalties, but they take care of business. 2-2 after normal time, and then they go to penalties. And yeah, another win for Leverkusen. They will play Carl Jena on Wednesday to defend. They officially start defense of their DFB Pokal title from last season. Stuttgart plays Preußen Münster tomorrow. And right now, as we speak, we have Werder Bremen currently playing Energie Cottbus in the third minute. You're getting live football here, people. Live football. Magdeburg in the 6th minute against Kickers Offenbach, 0-0. Koblenz and Wolfsburg, 5th minute, 0-0. And then later today, we have Eintracht Braunschweig against Eintracht Frankfurt. So that one will wrap up the first round on Wednesday with Leverkusen and Carl Zeiss Jena. That was so not a lot to talk about there. A couple of upsets, but they weren't huge. I mean, Bochum going out, you know, okay, whatever. But going on to, let's move to La Liga real quick. You texted me yesterday because I had to get to the gym at some point, and you say to me that Real Madrid dropped points on match day one. Let's talk a little bit about that. The expectation had to be very high, especially after they beat Atalanta this past week for the European Super Cup, the European champions versus the Europa League champions. They get it done, barely break a sweat, and then they drop points on the opening match day of the domestic campaign. So what do we got there?
Yeah, it was Marroca actually were honoring them before the match for having their title winning season, and then they played their asses off. I'm telling you, one thing I noticed from watching the 15 minute match highlights, you know how they'll condense it down to the big parts, is they were missing Mr. Toni Kroos more than anyone can imagine. I mean, he was missing on that pitch. That midfield was not what you're used to, and man, did it show. They have some work to do on that. I think it was the right side. I mean, everything was going left. They were missing Kroos. It was terrible. Ancelotti's got to figure something out, man, because everyone is saying they were going to go 38-0-0, and here it is, first match, and you already got your first draw. I mean, adding Mbappe isn't automatically that cheat code needed. You know, you still have to play football, and you got to remember you have that target on your back because you are Real Madrid, so everyone's going to play you like it's a freaking title match. You are gonna have the best out of everyone you're playing against, and yeah, they couldn't capitalize, man. Late red card. I mean,
late red card for Mendy. I was about to say, yeah. That one, 90 plus 7. I mean, we just you don't get a red card that late.
Yeah.
He's out next match now, guaranteed.
2 points that the kid could be greatly missed. I mean, everyone, you know, saying we'll be forgetting about the league quick. Well, let's let it play out, man. Who knows? You know, they draw or have an early red card next match and get 1 point from the next one, and then you're scratching your head wondering what the hell's going on. So we'll see, man. Long way to go. Yeah.
When they were the Galacticals, Nick, back in the early 2000s, when they had Zidane and Beckham and Roberto Carlos, they went a long time without winning a Champions League. I feel like Real Madrid, when they load up on so much talent, they put so much pressure on themselves, and the world basically gifts them titles, ceremonial titles. They're already crowning them champions 9 months before they've done anything, and it hurts them. I feel like when they're actually more of a team, where they have a couple of players that aren't world class, they're just really good, but they actually have to play as a team. As you like Toni Kroos, you know, he was at the end of his career. Modric was at the end of his career, but those guys are winners. They've been there, they've done that, they know how to get results. And it's just a matter of, okay, we sign Mbappe. Well, now everyone's like, oh, well, you're a cheat code. He's a cheat code. He's a video game player. He's a cheat code.
Yeah.
Zidane was a cheat code in 2003, 2004. So was Beckham, apparently. And so was Roberto Carlos. So was Fat Ronaldo. But they didn't win the Champions League for quite a while. It took them most of that decade. Was like Liverpool, AC Milan. Then you had who else was in there? Barcelona won one in 2006. I mean, it wasn't this Bayern Munich won in 2001. Real Madrid, as many titles as they've won in the past 15 years, there was a decade there where they didn't win anything.
Yeah.
And that's when they arguably had the most unbelievable, they called them the Galactischen. Germans called them that all the time, the Galacticals, because it was like a 92 US basketball men's dream team, but they played every match together.
Yeah.
It wasn't a national team, it was literally a club team, and they weren't winning everything. So I almost feel like, you know, if you get Mbappe in the squad, everyone's like, well, there it goes. There's undefeated. They'll just win every match. And you're right out the gate, match day one, you drop 2 points, and when you sign a player of that caliber, you are putting an enormous amount of pressure on yourself to produce. And I've always felt like the Real Madrid that was more dangerous was the one like from last season, where you had Carvajal and people like that. They're scoring goals to get you ahead. It's not all on the shoulders of a Benzema, let's say, or a Ronaldo back in the day, or anyone like that. It's a team effort, you know. It's like the goals are coming from Kroos on a free kick, a set piece, or Modric gets into space and gets a good ball and knocks it in. That's where Real Madrid, these intelligent players who find ways to win games and know how to. Joselu, you've mentioned him a number of times over the summer.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's not world class.
No. And he would come on and produce. And those are the guys, because of that, they won the Champions League. And that's kind of what, so far, I'm not going to say they've only played 2 matches, but Joselu is now banging goals in Al Jafra. And he said, screw you, because they brought in the GOAT, Mbappe. But I'm telling you, man, I think it's going to be too much every time. Every time we think a team's going to be undefeated or invincible, what happens? A good example is last year with Mr. Harry Kane. Remember what we said?
Yeah.
We said, these fuckers ain't going to lose a match. Harry Kane's going to score 70 goals, golden boot, player of the century, and they ended up getting third fucking place.
Yeah.
Which still to this day is as shocking as hell. And they didn't win any trophies. So his curse kind of kept on going, and they weren't able to do it. And I feel that Real Madrid might have that same issue, man. It could be very problematic for Real Madrid, because you automatically feel you deserve the title because you signed, you know, one of the greatest generational talents in Mbappe.
Agreed, 100% agreed. Now, their rivals, Barcelona, they took care of business, but it's a little bit worrisome how they got it done, because it took a brace from Robert Lewandowski. And let me say this, he's not going to be, this is Valencia, you know, they're still trying to come back from what was a terrible season 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They were bottom of the table a couple of years ago. They managed to fight back up to mid-table last season, but it's really, with Valencia, they're not the Valencia they were 5, 6, 7 years ago. Certainly not what they were 15 years ago. But Barcelona get the job done nonetheless, and on the road. But 45th plus 6, and then 49th minute penalty from Lewandowski. put them ahead. So they go, they fall behind 1-0 and then immediately equalize and then go ahead. And then that was the match. But yeah, Barcelona, you know, there's 65% possession. They did dominate the match in terms of shots, but I just wonder how much longer Leva can keep them afloat, because, you know, you have players like Yamal, you have a lot of young talent there. Ter Stegen's still in goal, but they're going to have to do a little bit more than just rely on Lewandowski for goals this season.
That got them
in four, nearly out of the top four last year. They flirted with it at one point. They ended up finishing second, of course, but look, there were some rough patches for Barca last year.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And Robert, God, man, his time. Father Time has got to be ticking on this man. I mean, golly, dude, he's been playing for a while. And he might, you know, be on that sauce and stuff might be coming out here a little bit later.
That's true, yeah, that's true.
This guy is, he's coming to his end, I feel, and Barcelona's going to need a little bit more than Robert. I don't know if they're going to be able to contend with just Yamal. So, yeah, man, Barcelona's a tricky one, man. We always talk about them, but they have these money issues that you scratch your head and you wonder how the hell they're able to get these players, you know?
Yeah, for a club that's billions in debt, you do wonder how they're able to get these players. I mean, I find it quite humorous that they're able to still sign players when they have, I mean, I don't see how anybody would loan them money to sign a player when they can't pay their current debts.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
It's definitely a head scratcher, man. You got to ask what in the world is going on. Cause it's, exactly that, man. It's a conundrum that I guess I'll just never understand, dude. I'll need like a 2-hour video.
Yeah, it's almost like they have it's almost like the U.S. national debt. It's like it doesn't matter how much Barcelona goes in debt and how little they pay back, they're just always going to keep getting money.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I don't see how they're not in insolvency because, I mean, you know, look, if you and I, any club owed I think they're down to 1.3 billion at the moment, but it was 2 billion at one point. I mean, they've had to sell players. They've had wholesale players. They had to get rid of Messi. They had to get rid of Neymar. They had, you know, to get money.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I don't understand how they're able to even keep their head above water, much less still be in the top four, but they are in an enormous amount of financial trouble. But so far on the pitch, so far so good. They get the win. Celta Vigo, they kick things off with La Liga. They get the 2-1 win. They're actually top of the table right now for whatever it's worth, whatever that means. It doesn't mean much, but they are first place. They do get the win on Friday, 2-1. And then the other one that was pretty big over the week. So Sociedad. Sociedad lost.
Yeah, that was big.
Over the weekend. Okay, Sociedad were Champions League last season. They finished fifth in the league, so they're Europa League this season. They are predicted, you know, they're predicted by most to finish at least at worst in the top six. And here they start off with a loss to begin the campaign. Right now, they're one of the three teams that lost over the weekend to Rayo Vallecano. I mean, just the only reason, and by the way, Liverpool target that turned them down, your girlfriend just Zubimendi'd you. He scored in the 90th plus 8 to even get them to 1. They were down 2-0.
Yeah.
Vallecano was just working them. And then Zubimendi, so maybe he'll have second thoughts now. He'll want to go to Liverpool because it doesn't look too promising right now for Sociedad.
Yeah, he might come crawling back. Yeah, he's a girlfriend who shut you down and then he texts you on the side and says, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't mean it. Please take me back. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Sociedad and Valencia off to not so great starts. We still have Atletico Madrid, Espanyol, Valladolid, and Villarreal play Yeah. So that will round out match day one. But so far, Sevilla drew, Girona drew, Las Palmas drew. So three winners. It was very much very reminiscent of the Italian Serie A, that there were very few actual results that ended in a win.
Yeah.
So Celta, Barca, and Vallecano are the ones that had wins. Everyone else drew. So the table is very, very bunched up. Hey, and so that brings us to the last topic. Want to talk a little bit about Marseille. What we did not get to a Ligue 1 preview. So we were not able to talk about some of the signings, but I said, you and I were talking on Saturday when you were over here watching the matches, and we said that, or I said that, you said that if it's going to be something that hangs over his head for the rest of his career, which I agree with, you know, yes, it will. It will. And I'm talking about Ray Rice. I mean, I'm sorry, not Ray Rice, the other girlfriend, yeah. Peter, Mason Greenwood.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. But you can't, as long as a club is willing to give him a second or third or fourth chance, and in this case, it's a second chance, as long as he doesn't screw up again, and as long as he puts his football first and keeps his fists by his side and doesn't hit anybody with them, a steal is 30-something million, which is what Marseille paid for him. He's worth far more than that. He's worth probably 80.
Oh, yeah. At least.
You have to look at them now with a little bit of excitement. And I know there's people out there that will say, after what he did to his girlfriend, I hope Marseille burn in hell. They don't. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen people say they don't. They think Marseille is a shit club now. They have no conscience. They have no morals. And, you know, I mean, same thing happened when Michael Vick got signed by the Eagles. But I do believe that humans can change. I do believe that people make stupid mistakes when they're young. He's a young punk, stupid kid. And as a father of a daughter, I would have beat the ever-living shit out of him if that were my daughter.
Yeah.
But I will say that I do believe that everyone, unless it's just the most heinous of heinous crimes, that everyone is entitled to a second chance, and that you can have a redemption story and you can become a contributing member of society and a good person. And so as long as he stays humble and keeps his nose clean and keeps his fists to himself, you have to recognize there is a world-class footballer inside of the body of Mason Greenwood. So he's playing for Marseille. That's just it. So they have to be taken a little bit more seriously now. What are your thoughts on Marseille, Mason Greenwood, and the weekend that they had?
It's a good story, man. I'm definitely second chance FC. I mean, me myself, I've made mistakes and things have changed, and now, you know, things are different. And I did a lot when I was young, and we all have, man. We've all made mistakes, and people have looked past them and moved forward. And it's a good thing, man. It shows people can grow. It shows that there is kindness in the world, even though he did one of the worst things thinkable to a woman, which is getting physical with him. You can move forward and you can change and make things better. Do I think he should have been ousted and never played again? Of course not. But it took a little time, man. I mean, this all happened 2-3 years ago, and it took time. I mean, he had to literally step aside for a little bit, let everything happen, and get his help he needed. He actually got married to the girl, and they have a child now. So things have changed, man, and the guy deserves a second chance. I think Marseille made a good move. Greenwood is a $80, $100 million player. If that didn't happen, United would have had him. He would 100% been able to been sold for 100 to 120 million. We talked about that. And he's a great player. I mean, people make mistakes. It happens, as we know. And I think that Marseille did a good thing. They already are on to a fiery start. I think he had a brace. I want to add in.
Yeah. Third minute. Yeah. Third minute. Yeah. He scores right out the gates and then adds another one on in the 31st. Yeah, so he has a brace. They beat Brest. Brest qualified for Champions League this past season. Marseille hammered them 5-1. And I want to give you a very interesting stat, Nick. Marseille scored 5 goals. They beat the balls off of Brest 5-1. They had 5 shots on target. You do the math. What's the conversion rate on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, lights out. That was absolutely amazing. Yeah, that's exactly what you want. Every
51% possession.
Yeah.
5 shots on target, 5 goals. Done.
Yeah. Lights out. Good job. And this could be the season where they have a chance, because PSG, the owners of the league, are in this transitional spot where they're making some changes and they're doing things differently. So Marseille could be a team to watch out for, man. I expect them to definitely make Champions League. There's no question about that. It's just, can we actually have a decent season in the French league this year? So far, so good. I'll take it. Monaco got the win also. So yeah, Marseille could be a team to look out for and a team to talk about this year.
I mean, when I look at them from a footballing perspective, I'm excited about it. I mean, Marseille's always been I've always liked Marseille, and I've always liked Lyon in France. They've always been two of the clubs that I'm not an outright supporter. I'm very much like you are in regards to Liverpool. I like them. I favor them. I want them to succeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Marseille is a traditional club in France. So is Lyon. So when I look at Marseille just kind of up and down mid-table, then they're kind of Champions League 1 year, then Europa League the next. This is the best squad they've had in a long time, with the most potential they've had in a long time. And I think at the very, very least, they make Champions League this season. But after what they did to Brest this past weekend, 5-1,
yeah,
they definitely, unless that's just a complete oasis in the desert, and it's just one of those one-off games where, you know, everything clicked. Based on the names on the roster, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think they actually are a good football club with a good team. So I look for them to maybe to push this year.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm definitely expecting them to do well. And I honestly think, I mean, people can laugh at me all they want, but Paris Saint-Germain are susceptible to some losses this year. And we could see a battle for the title. I mean, Paris Saint-Germain didn't go after that, you know, $120, $140 million guy. They're not looking to just buy the name. And finally, they're making themselves a little bit more likable. And they're playing 16-year-olds. They're bringing Dembele off the bench. They're bringing, their big names off later, and they're giving these young kids a chance. And they're doing football a different way. And they're finally seeing that their way did not work for the last 10 years. And they're trying something different, and it gives other clubs a chance to maybe win this title. And it's exciting, man. I'm really happy for the French league. I'm happy that Paris Saint-Germain are finally trying to do something different here, and it really gives these other clubs a fighting chance, I believe, man. I don't think PSG is going to run away with it by 20 points. I just don't. So very exciting, man. I'm glad we're talking about the French league. It's something we don't do much.
No.
And I enjoy it. I've always loved the French league. It's been a league I've always followed, from Cavani to Zlatan to now Greenwood in Marseille. It's been fun, man. And I really hope that we can continue this, because it's a great league.
De Zerbi's the manager. I mean, he knows, obviously, last season in the Prem, we know what he can do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I meant that as in regards to Marseille, not PSG. You were talking about PSG, but my head's still with Marseille for some reason.
No. But you're right. I mean, he's a guy who has proven himself to be one of the top managers, and going to Marseille was huge. And I mean, just don't be surprised if we have ourselves a title race, man. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Marseille, I don't want to be surprised. I would love to have a title race.
Oh my God, yeah. Marseille get their next win, and PSG draws or whatnot, and you're talking about a race, man. So it'll be something we'll be keeping our eyes on for sure.
Yeah, so the Ligue 1 was the reverse of the Serie A and La Liga. They had almost no draws, and everyone either won or lost. So right now you have winners Marseille, PSG, Rennes, Lille, Auxerre, Lens, and Monaco. Then the draws, which were only 2 draws, Strasbourg, Montpellier, Toulouse, and or should I call start calling Strasbourg Chelsea Light?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, they might as well be.
Farmer Chelsea, or Chelsea the Farmer?
Yeah, I mean the fans are so mad about that too.
Oh man,
You know?
I know. I
I
know.
mean,
It's so sad.
it's
But
ridiculous, man.
there's a couple. Yeah, I mean they got everyone got their match day in, so no more games until this weekend for Ligue 1. So everything is in the books for match day one. The one league that has not started yet because they played their cup this past weekend and are still playing it currently. And they are, let's see, let's check what are the scores right now since we were talking.
Oh, it's zero
Wolfsburg is up
zero.
1-0,
Yeah.
and
0-0
everything else
winner
is still
Bremen.
0-0.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Wolfsburg's up 1-0, about to be halftime.
Yeah, Patrick Wimmer scored in the
Yep.
15th. And no, but it's the Bundesliga. So, Nick, the Bundesliga kicks back off this weekend. They are a couple weeks behind the third league and the second Bundesliga. So they are basically the last major league to kick off. Everyone else is underway. And what are you looking for this weekend from the Bundesliga? Any surprises? Do you see any potential upsets? I think that just based on the name, look at Gladbach and Leverkusen Friday night. That's going to be that's a regional rivalry. They're very close to each other. It's one of, obviously Köln is Gladbach's biggest rival, but Leverkusen and Gladbach are very, very close. So you're starting off with a regional rivalry match day one. Now Gladbach were absolutely crap last season, but it's a new year, Nick. New year, 0 points for everyone. Everyone gets a clean slate. Are you looking for any upsets? Do you see anything that stands out to you for match day one in the Bundesliga?
Yeah, just I'm looking Leverkusen, man. I want to see how they perform. I mean, me and the whole world, we did see them. They're like that roach that you could never kill, man. They can't die. They cannot die. They'll be beaten down, red card this, down 2-0, and they just always come back. So I'm looking to see if they can continue that into this next season. I mean, you gotta think that they can. Borussia Dortmund playing Frankfurt, that's a big one. I
Yep.
feel that'll be fun to watch. That's the 12:30 match on Saturday. I mean, Leipzig are gonna destroy Bochum.
See,
I
that's what
don't
I want to see. I want to see if Bochum in the cup, if that was just a one-off, or are they really this bad? And
I
Leipzig
think
will expose them if they're really this bad.
Oh yeah, and they're in Leipzig's home. I think it'll be bad, man. I don't know, man. I just don't see. I don't give them a chance. But hey, man, we've seen crazier things. I just Bochum's not a side that really are gonna be able to recover if they do fall down, just because of the spending and the quality that they do have. I mean, they start out bad. It's hard to kind of turn that around, man. I know they turned around a two-leg aggregate, but a two-leg aggregate in a season is two different things.
Yes.
So I'd be shocked if Leipzig don't beat them 3-0, 4-0. I don't know if Bochum will be able to score. Hell, they couldn't score against Regensburg, let alone RB Leipzig, who are gonna be top four this next season. So
Yeah,
it's gonna be hard.
another regional rivalry, Freiburg against Stuttgart. That's going to be a nice one there, Saturday, 9:30. And then you got to look at this, two. Last season relegation sides, they both saved themselves at the very end. One a little bit more impressive than the other, but this is a big match. I think that matches like this, they set the tone for the season, and that's Mainz at home against Union Berlin.
Yeah. Werder Bremen just scored, so
Okay, they're up. Okay.
yeah, they're up now. I agree, man. It's Mainz, man. Mainz was lucky to turn it around when they did, man, because they could have been in some deep trouble. You remember that crazy run they had at the end of the season?
Yes, that's what
It's
I'm referring to. They
yeah.
got their shit together at the
Just the
exact right
right
time.
time. Yeah. And let's see if they can continue it, man. I think Mainz will be fine. I think there's going to be some other teams that are just historically bad this year, in one with Bochum. I don't know why I'm so down on them this season. I just think they're going to be in trouble. They got saved by the mindlessness of Dusseldorf. So yeah, Mainz, I'm looking forward to see how they do. Definitely a team to look look at and look forward to, and Daddy also coming up. I think they play Sunday, right?
They play Wolfsburg, yeah.
Okay, and they're away from home, so
yeah, man. I mean, that could be tricky.
Absolutely, because Wolfsburg are looking decent so far. I know it's just TUS Kolbids, but hey, a win's a win in the Polcat and in the DFB Cup. So yeah, I'm excited. Finally, we get away from these fifth tier teams playing the top tier, and we get into the league. I definitely am probably a little bit more excited about this than probably any other league, because I want to see if Zabi can continue this crazy ass run. Can he? I mean, dude, if you think about it, if he wins like first five or six matches, you're really gonna, or not, if he doesn't lose the first five, six, seven matches, you're gonna be scratching your head saying, hey, can this be done again? You know, it's gonna be something to really pay attention to. I mean, two seasons in a row not losing would be unspeakable. Like there's nothing even close to that that's ever been done. So yeah, man, all eyes on Friday. I think Mönchengladbach could be in some serious trouble, and Leverkusen could absolutely destroy, but definitely excited on my end. We got a lot of Saturday morning fun here.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Well, hey, man, that wraps it up. We got everything in, all the leagues, yeah. Cups, everything. I mean, we're off to a hot start. I think the football's off to a hot start. I'm very excited about match day two and then match day one in the Bundesliga. I can't wait to get German League kicked back off again and see what Leverkusen has in store for us. If Kompany can get some results with Bayern, what does Dortmund do with their new retooled squad under Nuri Sahin? I think we're in for another fantastic weekend, and I'm very excited to see what Marseille can do in France.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Yeah, I feel if PSG really screw around, they're going to screw around and find out. So yeah, definitely excited, man. Glad to be back in the regular rotation. We're here to have these shows back to normal, and it's going to be exciting this season.
Absolutely, man. Well, hey, I've got nothing else. I'm gonna turn the lights out in the basement unless you have anything else, sir.
No, good to go, man. Ready to rock and roll.
All right, we're in and out. Less than an hour and a half. Quick and easy first episode of the season. Love it, love it, love it. Everyone, be sure please to follow us on TikTok. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and where else? Yeah, Twitter,
Instagram.
TikTok.
Yeah,
leave some reviews on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, please, wherever you podcast from. And yeah, we will see everyone here next week back in the basement with another match day of football in the books. Until then,
yeah,
Pretty and Nick signing off.
See ya. Deja quieta, nena. ¿Quién puede parar eso que al bailar descontrolado?